Speaking with Sue Panning, Artistic Director for the Canmore Folk Music Festival. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Rob?
Good. First of all, before we get into the fest itself, I want to talk about the announcement last week about the new member of the Folk Fest admin team. Tell us a little bit about Kurt and how he came on board.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited about this. I've been involved for a whole bunch of years now working on transition and succession planning. So after working with Ken Rooks and after he left, I took on the role as Artistic Director, which I'd planned to do for, you know, a bunch of years, and still help with kind of getting the best structure we can for the festival so that we're around for another 35 years. Mm-hmm. And when I heard Kurt retired from the Banff Center, I just thought, holy smokes, you know, if he would be interested, that would just be so fantastic. And I spoke to him and he was interested. So I started chatting more with him and talking to the board to see if it would work for him to come on board. So that's what's happening. He's going to come on board, shadow me at the festival this summer, and then work this fall. We're going to be associate festival directors together. And, you know, me sort of showing him everything that I know about the festival and how it runs. And then he will become festival director for next year. And I'll do a bunch of projects that I'd like to work on, just to, you know, make sure we have all the information and nothing gets lost after Ken's departure.
Kurt's an encyclopedia of music and band knowledge, isn't he?
Oh yeah, I mean, really, who better? He's been in the Bow Valley forever, so he's got the Banff Canmore connection. He's been presenting music for over 20 years. He used to be working with musicians before he was out here working for the Banff Center. He's got great connections with agents, with the industry, with, you know, just so many people. So I think he's going to fit in so nicely, and I think it's really positive for the festival.
Well, an exciting news for an exciting 35th year for the Canmore Folk Fest, and we've got a really fantastic lineup this year. Probably the biggest names that people most recognize, Bruce Cockburn and Ian Tyson. You managed to get both of them at the fest this year, didn't you?
I couldn't think of a better way to celebrate 35 years than to have two Canadian icons come. And I've been fans of both Ian and Bruce for a long time. And, you know, I managed to get them both this year. Yeah. So it's great. A good celebration.
That's awesome. A few changes this year with regards to dancing at the end of the Saturday and Sunday evenings.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about the idea you guys are putting in this
year.
Sure.
You know, it was hard to figure out exactly what to do. And lots of festivals have been wrestling with this same idea. As newer people are coming to the festival, there's this, you know, issue between dancing and sitting. So they call them tarpies and dancers. And last year at the end of Saturday night and Sunday night, we had Elliot Brood and Delhi to Dublin, and a lot of people wanted to get up and dance. So people were up front dancing, and some people moved through the crowd to get to the front of the stage so they could dance. And I know that wasn't something that people were used to or expecting. And so, you know, we knew that we had to address that this year. And we put out a lot of surveys on our website and asking various people in person what their thoughts were. And, you know, by far the majority of people thought it was really exciting to have the whole field up dancing and, you know, smiling and enjoying the festival. And the musicians certainly enjoy that too. So we knew we had to deal with something, because we really appreciate the audience that's come for years and years, and appreciate that people do want to sit and have an unobstructed view. So we knew we had to do something. So we're going to try this year, and we're going to put probably paint a line about 30 feet back from the stage in the grass. So on Saturday night and Sunday night, people who have their tarps in front of that line have that space right all day Sunday, all evening Saturday, and also most of the evening on Sunday, except for the very last act. And at that point, we'll ask people to gather up their tarp, and, you know, they can stay there. So just fold it and put it on your cooler or whatever, and invite people into that freed up space. And both bands on Saturday night, the last act Saturday night and last act Sunday night, will be ones that encourage dancing. So people that are behind that line can leave their tarps down, but probably everybody's going to want to get up because, you know, in order to see the band. And then the rest of the time, the dancing will be off to the sides. And we figured that way we could make it very clear what, you know, the rules were, I guess, and see if we can't compromise and appeal to everybody. So people can sit in that area, have an unobstructed view for everything but the last 45 minutes to an hour. We're going to see how it goes this year, and I'm sure there's going to be feedback on it, but there's other festivals that have that kind of a transition zone, and it works beautifully. So we've tried our best to make sure people know what we're planning, and I think that's going to be the biggest part of it, is just having people understand and know what to expect. So hopefully people will have an open mind and see it as a really great thing. I mean, geez, dancing at a festival.
And who are the so-called danceable bands that you've got on the Saturday and Sunday nights?
We've got Current Swell, which is a band from Victoria, a roots act. They do sort of blues, a bit rocky. They've been to the Valley a bunch of times, and they do a really fun, upbeat dance set. And then we have Elage Diouf. Him and his band won the Juno for World Music last year. He's been touring with Cirque du Soleil for the last 5 years for their show Delirium. And he puts on, him and the band put on an amazing show. It's very fun, accessible, kind of African music, really fun to dance to.
And he's doing the children's concert this year, isn't
he? Yeah. Yeah, it was funny, you know, when I was looking at who we had in the lineup and who could possibly do a children's concert, I was doing a bunch of research and discovered that Elage had been hired across the country to do children's festivals. So he just came from the Vancouver Children's Festival, and I just read tons of rave reviews on it. People said, wow, you really have to see this band. So I think it's going to be cool to see him do the children's concert as well.
And that's what's a lot of fun about the Folk Fest. In addition to all the stuff happening in Centennial Park, there's stuff going on around town, like the children's concert. Another thing that you guys tried last year was the Stage 4 Festival Pub. Yeah. And I understand that's coming back this year?
It is. Yeah, we had huge response for that. It's a place where we showcase the many talented local artists that we have, as well as can bring in a few other touring acts that we wouldn't have normally brought in for the main stage or just didn't have enough room for. You know, there's only 18 main stage acts, so it allows us to be able to present a bit more music. And then we also have the School of Song performers come, and that's a new title for the group that used to be called U22. So Rhea March up in Edmonton brings on a bunch of kids who are part of a mentoring program with her. So they're all under 22 and they're incredibly talented. So they'll be doing some workshop or sessions at the festival, but each act also has a set in the pub.
And the community cafe, they're doing a little thing as well.
Yeah, that's right. On Friday night at Community is the School of Song. So I think all five of the, there's six acts, five will be part of that. The Erie Green, which is the local band with Leighton Kramer, actually is opening for Samantha Savage Smith at the Banff Center. So that's cool. Pretty exciting for them.
Totally. Mm-hmm. So we've also got some other returning favorites, the Street Party's back this year.
That's right. Yeah, we've got the Street Party, which is Friday night. We've got the live broadcast of CKUA's Andy Donnelly's show, The Celtic Show, from 6 to 8. And from 8 to 9, we've got a live concert performance by Kim Churchill. There's a young fellow from Australia, and he's just been making, you know, a splash in Canada. He was just at the Winnipeg Folk Festival, and people were raving about him, and they're following him out here. So actually, they're coming from Winnipeg just to see him. And he's just super dynamic. His guitar playing is, you know, he's got that slap percussive style, and he plays a harmonica, and he sings, and he just brings a really fun energy. So, you know, I hope people will come out to see him, because it's going to be something to see.
And Pancakes on Monday morning?
You bet. Yeah, Pancakes Monday morning, 8:30 to 10:30 at the outside of the Union Hall. Ronnie's Bag Boys are coming back again. Cool. So
back to the main stuff going on in Centennial Park. Let's talk about some of the other acts. Maybe give us the one or two acts that you think aren't really mainstream. Not a lot of people might have heard of them, but that you think are really special this year.
Yeah, well, there's a lot. You know, I'd love to tell you about everyone, but there's a few that come to mind. Jack Semple is one. He's from Saskatchewan, and he should be a household name. I mean, he's incredible guitar player. He has a blues trio, which is like a hot blues trio, but I'm bringing him as a solo player, and he just has the most amazing finger style. He's a virtuoso on his instrument, and you know, people are speechless after they see him and go, wow, how did I not know about this guy? So that's exciting, and he'll be doing a workshop with Bruce Coburn and Kim Churchill actually on the Monday, so cool. I think that's going to be awesome.
Right on.
Mike Ferris is a gospel singer that's coming up from Nashville, and when I first heard him, he sent shivers up my back. Just his voice is sort of a combination of Stevie Wonder and Martin Sexton. You know, it's just really cool. And, you know, we've got just a whole variety. We've got a Locarno coming from Vancouver. It's Tom Lenda, who has been with the Paperboys forever. We've had the Paperboys come, and Locarno is his Mexican project, so they have horns and fiddle. It's really fun. So just a huge variety, and Susie Vinnick and Rick Fines have been around Alberta at the folk clubs. they'll be fun. They bring kind of a blues side of things.
You know, for the last number of years, I've been having fun hosting the Monday afternoon main stage workshops. And, you know, every once in a while that a workshop comes up, I'm thinking last year of the McDade's and Delhi to Dublin one, that's just like, whoa, this is awesome. How do you put those together? Like, how do you decide the combination of bands that will go on stage?
I do a lot of research. So, you know, I try to find some common theme, whether it's instruments or virtuosity on a particular instrument, or, you know, there's just some connection, whether it's a style of music. I've got Ian Tyson and George and the Hawaiian Masters of Hawaiian Music, mm-hmm. and Gurf Morlick's doing something called the Cowboy Trail. And all of them have sort of the cowboy life and telling the stories of cowboy life in their music. So That's a theme right there.
And also, what also amazes me every year is the technical setup and that side of things. You know, just the fact that Vic and his team can set up, like, you know, 12 microphones and 15 instruments, and they do it in like 10 minutes.
Oh yeah, Vic is an amazing man, actually. He's been working for months, you know, collecting information, getting the stage plots and all the technical information, and then he, you know, does all these flow charts, and, you know, he's got it all written out and all planned out, and then he has this whiteboard backstage, and, you know, just has everything timed and written out, so Everybody knows what's going on, and he just puts together a really well-oiled machine to get it done.
In the last few years, also, greening of the festival is something that's been really important. Is that initiative continue this year?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think the festival was actually at the forefront of doing that in Canmore, the Zero Waste Initiative, and every year we seem to make improvements. So they tape shut all the garbage cans, and we have these resource recovery stations, and the volunteers then will educate people as they come back with their resources. Actually, we don't call it garbage, so people know, okay, well, what's recyclable, what's compostable, and what actually is going to end up in the landfill. And it's been hugely successful.
How have tickets been selling so far?
Really well.
Yeah,
we were up quite a bit, you know, with Ian Tyson and Bruce Coburn. There's a big buzz around it, and so tickets are selling really well. They are still available, so either on our website, canmorefolkfestival.com, or locally, you can buy them at the Tin Box or at Stonewaters, and if you're in Banff, you can buy them at the phone store.
I think it's really neat, too, that you guys have this mobile app this year.
Dana Mackey, our marketing sponsorship person, was instrumental in getting that going. You know, she thought it'd be really neat to have that. You can look at the schedule and you know, plan what you want to see. Mm-hmm. And it's a free thing that you can download, and you just look it up in the App Store.
And there's like some photo sharing and stuff that you can do there as well during the festival.
Cool. So just, you know, like, it's a changing world, and, you know, having your mobile device is part of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we're going to have a charging station on site too, like, so you can charge up your phone for free.
Cool. Before we wrap things up today, is there anything else you wanted to highlight? Anything else you wanted to mention?
Yeah, I just, you know, hope everybody comes. It's such a great Canmore event, and we're so amazed every year how much support we have from the local community. You know, businesses are stepping up to, you know, make food that we can serve the volunteers. And, you know, this is on the busiest weekend of the year, and they're putting out for us. So, you know, we're really thankful that we're in a community like Canmore with all the support. And so it's great.
Excellent. 35 years, Canmore Folk Music Festival returns. You've ordered some good weather for the long weekend too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
August 4th through 6th in Centennial Park. And again, that website, canmorefolkfestival.com. Sue Panning, Festival Director, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Thank you.